Thank you, Missy. Bill is out today. There was a pretty important activity that happened here yesterday with the marriage of his daughter that was awesomely, just a wonderful celebration of marriage that happened today. But he is off today. Missy, I appreciate you filling in wherever you went. There you are. Thank you, choir, as always. There's, you know, week by week, I thank the choir for their leadership and worship. And what you don't see is some of the things that happen behind the scenes, which are what we call choir practice. If you've never been to a choir practice here, you miss out because the choir practice here are awesome. Their worship experience is in and of their own right. And it's not just the worship experience they have there, but they faithfully prepare week by week for the opportunity we have in worship. And I appreciate you. Thank you. Our passages, I did say passages today. The first is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. We're continuing our series of messages about the images of the church. We've pictured this in terms of coming to a museum, and the entire museum has images of the church. Each picture having a different portrait of how God paints what we are supposed to be, who we are supposed to be, what we're supposed to look like. And you may not realize it, but there's well over 80 plus images of the church that are in Scripture of how we're supposed to live and what we're supposed to do. So we continue in that vein today in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, looking at the image of what it means to be an ambassador, and that painting that is there for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 says this: "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Have you ever walked into a place and forgotten why you walked there? Yes, I hear the chuckles. Have you ever walked out of your office and you're walking towards your car and you remember the three things that you left in your office and you have to turn around and go back? I will confess that's such a regular pattern for me that I've now gotten the habit of I'll walk out of my office and then I'll just stand there and wait for a second. And I'll remember whatever it is that I've forgotten and go back in. Or maybe you're like me and you're on one side of your house and you're engaged in some sort of activity that requires a tool. And so you go from that side of the house over to your tool chest and you open your tool chest and you just stand there and look at it. I confess I've even picked up different tools and thought about what I could do with that tool in the house. I don't know, is there anything that a hammer would be used for today? I don't know if there's a screwdriver, I don't know, a wrench maybe. You go back to the place, you know, maybe if I go back to the place, I'll remember, you know, it'll jog my memory and I got nothing. You know, so you just wait for that time when you remember again and go back and start. Or maybe it happens to you, hypothetically, that your spouse has sent you to Target to get something. And as soon as you walk in the house with your bags full of groceries, and your spouse, my wife, can attest to the many, many times this has happened to me, she would say, "Sweetheart, did you get the..." And before she gets to the, I know the things that I've forgotten. But not when I was at Target and trying my best to remember whatever those things are and to get all of the things. She's gotten to where we don't just say it. She texts me. I had to have a list so that I can remember why I'm there. Because I have a hard time remembering why I'm there. You know, this passage that we just read talks about why we're here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." This passage is telling us that the reason why You and I are here in our community, in our family, in our workplace, on our team, in our school, whatever it is, wherever it is your spheres of influence are, why you are here is to be God's ambassador. Specifically you. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors as though God were making his appeal through us. See, it's not just why we're here. There's also a specific message that you've been given. Why does that matter? My wife will also sometimes tell me, you need to make sure that you give this message to this person. And I'll say, yes, I can do that. And then I will see the person and I will not give the message. Not because I'm deliberately, intentionally not giving the message, but because I've forgotten. I've forgotten that there was a message. And so my wife will say, did you give the message to you? And I did not. I failed. I did not remember that you gave me a message to give to that person in my family. My wife has asked me, I need you to give this message to this son so that he goes to the right place after school. We don't use that system anymore. They've taken out the middleman because too often I have not communicated the message that need to be relayed from one person to another. You have been given, I have been given, not only a mission, but a message. You're Christ's ambassadors. So you have a mission to the people that are in your life, because the people that are in your life are different than the people that are in my life. The sphere of influence that you have in your life is different than the sphere of influence that I have in my life. You have a mission to go and to be Christ's ambassadors, and you have a specific message. What is the message? Let's look. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Your specific message is the gospel. That you would communicate the good news of God's love and how they can have a relationship with God, being reconciled to him. It's your message. Our first application question. If you're new with us today, you need to know that our application questions are how we try to take God's living and active word and apply it to our hearts, because we realize that God's word is not something that just stays on the shelf or gathers dust, but that when it's read, when it's studied, it's alive, sharper than a double-edged sword, and pierces our hearts and our souls down to the marrow. And so when that happens, we have to respond. We have to do something with it. So these application questions are our attempt to apply, to do something with God's word. Here's your first application question. If you're taking notes, this is what you should write down. Can you articulate the message of your King? Can you articulate the message of your King? If we agree, as Scripture teaches us, that we have been given a mission to be Christ's ambassadors, and we've been given a message from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to tell the gospel in people's lives, can you tell that message? I confess it. When I have the opportunity to tell that message, I have a favorite verse that I use. There's different strategies and methods that people use, but the verse that I use is Romans 10, verse 9, because I found that that verse over the years is one that we can talk through. It's one that, as I share the gospel with someone who's not yet a Christian, we can talk about what it means to be a Christian in a way that they can ask questions. that we can have dialogue back and forth. Romans 10, verse 9 says this, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So we start out a conversation and we just say, listen, we're just going to go through these verses together, word by word. And it says, if you confess, do you know what it means to confess? And typically they say, yeah, I mean, it just means you talk. Great. We're on the same page. If you confess, if you use your mouth and talk and say, Jesus is Lord, do you know what the word Lord means? Typically the answer is no. The word Lord is not a word that's in our common vocabulary anymore, which is great because that means it's a conversation point. So I say, well, you know, do you know what a landlord is? Yes. Someone who's in charge of a property. That whatever somebody does inside that house or inside that apartment or whatever it is, it's the landlord is the one who's in charge. And if they say it, then you have to do it. Great. That's what Jesus is. He's your Lord. Another word, he's your master. Another word, you're taking your life and instead of you being in charge of it, you've given it over to someone else. So that in the morning, instead of living for Rob Hatfield, you are instead living for Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You see, Jesus, as we just read in 2 Corinthians, came and lived a perfect life. At the end of his perfect life, he took his sins on himself. Our sins on himself. He didn't have to do that, but he chose to do that. He chose to do that, and then because of that, he died. And if he had just died, he would have been like all the masses that had died before him. But he didn't just die. He rose from the dead and defeated the power of your sin and of death itself. So that if you believe, as the scripture says, that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Do you know what it means to be saved? Yeah, I'm rescued from something. What do you need to be rescued from? I don't know. You know, you've committed sins, and so have I. And those sins have separated you from God. And without the rescue of Jesus, you would face an eternity without him. But you today have the chance to believe in his death and resurrection, being rescued and saved and given eternal life. That's typically how I share the gospel. One-on-one. And I will tell you that as the conversations happen, while that is the framework of the conversation, it can go a myriad of different ways depending on the individual situation and where they are in life and what stories they have and what we need to talk about and talk through. Can you articulate the message of the King? Can you proclaim the gospel in a way that someone else who is in your sphere of influence could accept it and follow it? In your family, in your business network, in your team, in your school, in your whatever it is, you are an ambassador, not just me. The church, all of us, are ambassadors of Christ. We have a mission. We have a message. Ephesians chapter 6 talks about Paul being an ambassador of Christ and what that looks like. Verse 19, Paul is speaking and he says, pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. I've told you before that I'm a runner. I'm more of a jogger, or perhaps a fast walker with a gallop. But I like to run outside. I don't like to run inside on a treadmill if I can avoid it. I like to be outside in nature. And so as I'm running, it's not uncommon that you pass places that have dogs. inside their fences, and lots of times there's even a beware of dog. If it's a huge animal that's behind there, you can hear them before you come up on it. So as you come up, you hear the big beast who has radar ears, and he's right behind the fence, and he is letting you know it's the real deal. He's a big dog, and he could take you out if he needed to. Don't come on his property. But have you ever run past those fences and you see the beware of dog sign, but it's not a big beast, it's a tiny yip-yip dog? The tiny one. Maybe he's got a friend. Maybe there's a big dog back there that's his friend, but really, it's just all you hear is the tiny yip-yip dog. And so you're running and you hear yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip, yip-yip-yip-yip-yip. Why do I do this? Because he's jumping up in the air like a pogo stick to see you. Yip-yip-yip-yip-yip-yip. And he's ferocious. He's giving you his all, his biggest, meanest bark that he possibly has. And it sounds like, yip, 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 yip. And you're not very afraid of the tiny yip, yip dog. But I'll tell you what, he knows that he is fearless. And he's going to let you have everything that he could possibly have. And if you've seen him out with his master, and they're on a walk, it's the same thing. He doesn't know that he's only 1 inch tall. And if he was sopping wet, he'd weigh 3 pounds. It doesn't matter. He is a ferocious animal. And so he's going to let you have it. And, the owner's just kind of holding his leash like, I'm sorry. He's a fearless creature. Do you see the word fearless there? Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Here's your second application question. What are you afraid will happen if you make the gospel known? What are you afraid will happen if you make the gospel known? In your family, in your workplace, in your friends at school, in your teams, in your business associates, what are you afraid is going to happen? Do we realize that while strength-wise, we might be the tiny 1-inch dog that doesn't weigh very much, you know who your owner is? The one we just talked about that we said we've given our lives over to, that is our master. You know who that is? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What is it that we have to be afraid of? Because if he's on our side, if he's with us, then who can be against us? If he's with us, then we win. The story of Scripture from the beginning to the end. And I would encourage you to read all of it. If you read all the way to the end, you find out an amazing truth. We win. We're in the middle time right now. After Jesus has risen from the dead, when we are given a mission and a message to proclaim his death and resurrection to all in the world. And there's a time coming when he will return and we win. That's really good news. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords wins. And we're on his team. So what is it that we're afraid of is going to happen? Paul recognizes that fear is a part of it. And so he prays that whenever he would open his mouth, words may be given so that he will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Pray that he may declare it fearlessly. The ramifications that come are sometimes difficult. If you look in verse 20, it says, for which I am an ambassador in chains. An ambassador in chains. That's not like a figurative word there. That's a literal, he's chained up with handcuffs. He's writing this letter chained because of his mission and his message as an ambassador of Christ. What do I mean? Go to Acts chapter 22 and you see why it is that Paul was arrested. Why it is that he's an ambassador in chains. Acts chapter 22, he's having a conversation in the temple yard with the Jewish people who have heard about his message that he's proclaimed out. And as he has this conversation with them, he says, "Then the Lord said to me, 'Go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles.'" And the crowd listened to Paul until he said this, and then they raised their voices and shouted, "Rid the earth of him, he's not fit to live." The message of the gospel is not just for one tiny group of people. It's not for one socioeconomic group. It's not for one nation. It's for all people. And when Paul said that, when he proclaimed his mission and message, he faced consequences. The consequences was that he was arrested. He would eventually be sent on to Rome. And the story goes that even in Rome, he would continue to defend his faith and tell about Jesus. We don't know from Scripture because the story stops at that point. But historical Christianity would tell us that he was eventually martyred. But didn't we just say just a second ago that we win? How is it that we win and can get martyred? Do you remember? This place is not our home. We're an ambassador of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and our home is in heaven. It's not here. Paul had his eye on what was ahead. Paul had his eye on what would be his reward, and that allowed him to proclaim fearlessly the mission and the message of Jesus to all who would hear it, no matter what the repercussions would be. He realized that while he was a tiny person in all of it, that the God of the universe was behind him and that God could use his testimony to touch lives, just like he can use your testimony. That you are gifted and equipped and specifically called to go out into your friend group. If you are a Christian today, that is your calling as an ambassador of Christ. That you are given this mission and this message, and that God is expecting you to make the proclamation, even as 2 Corinthians says, "We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." But then right before that it says, "As though God were making his appeal through us." That part just is really hard for me. God's strategy for your friend is you. God's strategy for your lost family member or business associate or teammate or whatever it is you. That's been his plan, that he would use the ambassadors from his kingdom to bring his message of good news and light and love to the world. Not because we're great and wonderful, we're not, but because in a way that only God can, his Spirit uses the message that we proclaim to convict people of their sin, of their need for righteousness, and of the coming judgment. And through that testimony, they, in the same way that we were as Christians now, are convicted and know that we need to believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus and make him the master of our lives. And God uses that word to accomplish restoration, to accomplish reconciliation, to accomplish salvation. That's his plan. It's you. that we would be discerning in our relationships, always loving, always finding better ways to love, that we would be discerning about when those opportunities come to speak words of truth about who Jesus is. Our last application question is this: what citizenship is your priority? What citizenship is your priority? See, the reality is that as we proclaim the good news of Jesus, there's cost. There will be cost in your friend network and your business associates and your teams and your whatever it is, there's cost. And so you have to evaluate, what is my priority here? Where's my priority in relationship? Where's my priority as an ambassador? Is it in my family or is it to the King of Kings? Is it in my business associates or to the King of Kings? Is it in my team or is it to the King of Kings? Where's the priority? How is it, if we are declaring that Christ is the priority, how do we then make that transition to being open and receptive day by day to how the Spirit would lead, asking Him to provide wisdom and discernment and opportunities for you to share your faith, for you to declare the message of the kingdom? I tell you, that's a dangerous prayer. If you start asking God, God, if you'll just show me what to do and how to help this person know about your love, I'll do it. Be careful. It's a dangerous prayer because God loves your friend way more than you do. He loves your family member way more than you do. He desires them to come into salvation. He will give you the wisdom you need and the strength to accompany it. And it's our job to be obedient. It's our job to be ambassadors of Christ. We're coming to our time of response. Here's how this time of response will work. If you're a Christian and member of this congregation already, you have application questions that you've hopefully written down, and as we sing a song, you'll have the opportunity to begin that conversation with God. How do I need to apply this to my life? Making plans for what tomorrow is going to look like in a different way. There's others in the room that are Christians and looking for a church home. You need to know who we are. We do our best to love God, to love each other, and to bring His love into the world. If that's who you are, then during this time, you can come forward and say, I need to make this church my church. And there's a last group of people, people in the room who are not yet Christians. And maybe today you heard the message of the gospel and you would say, you know what? I've never made Jesus my master. I've never been forgiven for my sins. And I need to today. And if that's you, then as we sing, you can come forward and just say, I need to become a Christian. Maybe this is too much pressure for you. That's okay. You can find me right after the service, or better yet, there's Christians in this room, brothers and sisters, who are ambassadors of the King who would love to talk to you about how you can become a Christian. Please stand with me as we sing our hymn of response together.